My name is Cheryl, and I lost my husband in September of 2022 on our 11-month anniversary. And it was within about 2 weeks of losing him that I came across Michelle on TikTok and found her Widowed Too Soon podcast. My life is changed because of that podcast and doing the grief recovery with Michelle. I never thought in a million years that I would be sitting here happy less than a year and a half after losing him. I am forever grateful for coming across that podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Widowed Too Soon. This is your host, five-time Emmy Award winner, Mark Massaro. I am here with my friend and co-host, Michelle Bader Ebersole.
Wait, what's up, Michelle? I have to ask what your Emmys are for. Wait, is Emmys TV? I don't even remember.
You know, I don't know. I had a feeling somebody was going to call me on that. I don't know. Okay, I don't have any Emmy awards. I'm just a regular dude. I work on cars for a living. I don't have any Emmy awards.
Yeah.
So what's up with you?
Well, we had Valentine's Day, so you got to talk about yours last time because you guys did it early. We did ours early too, but just one day. So I thought I would share my Valentine's story. So Joel had, you know, I told you guys last time that like he had a flight, so we had to do it early, but it ended up being really good because Valentine's Day was actually like rainy and like awful, but our Valentine's Day was amazing. It was sunny and we went to downtown Portland and he got me a Tiffany's necklace and
nice.
I mean, I picked it out and then he surprised me with what he had it engraved and he put his initials, he said, because he wanted to keep me close to his heart, close to my heart.
Oh.
He wanted his initials close to my heart. And I was like, that's so sweet. And it was just a really fun day, like walking around Portland, sitting in the sun. Hold on. I'm getting a text from him that I think needs to be answered right now. Oh, yes. Okay.
He said, tell him about the Tiffany's necklace.
Yeah. That's what he's like, tell them. No. Anyways. And we just walked around and then it kind of felt like my birthday. I was like, is this my birthday? Because we went to one of my favorite stores, Athleta, which is like workout clothes. We went like to a bookstore, all kinds of places. And he just was like, you know, get whatever you want. I'm like, I like this Valentine's Day. It's amazing. And then we went out to dinner and it was just like a beautiful day where we spent the whole day together. Like it was just going to be a few hours and it ended up like we went out to, oh, by the way, I almost texted you that today, that day to say, there's no heart-shaped biscuits at Chick-fil-A. We went there. I was like, Mark said they went there and they had the heart-shaped like muffins. So
Tina,
we went
the
next day. Yeah.
I got them yesterday morning. They still had them.
They don't have them here because I almost went and complained. I was like, what? They don't have them because I was all excited. I was like, we have to go. So we went to Chick-fil-A for breakfast and they were just plain old circles, but it was okay.
Plain old circles.
Plain old circles. We went there for breakfast. We went out to lunch. We went out to dinner and it was just, it was our first married Valentine's Day and it was just really fun. It was like an adventure and just like, I loved it. It was absolutely beautiful and interesting. This is an interesting thing I picked up at the bookstore. So there is this bookstore called Powell's and it has new and used. I had to get this book from 1957 called How to Be a Successful Widow, written by a man in 1957.
Wow.
And it is actually really interesting. He was like a newspaper columnist guy and a lot of widows would write into him about being a widow. So he decided to write a book. I haven't read much of it. But I thought it was interesting. So I'll report back on how to be a successful widow.
See what applies from 1957 till now.
I know. I was just like, what? And the intro is by Mrs. Dale Carnegie.
Oh, interesting.
Like, who's that? But he's the guy who wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Yeah.
And so I thought it was very interesting. They don't even say her name. You can't see it on here. It just says Mrs. Dale Carnegie.
That's very 1957.
Right? And it's just talking about, oh, that was very interesting. Like, where to meet another person? And it was like there's no places to meet them. They were talking about this club for those. It literally said widowed and spinsters. I was like, what? And like single people over 50 or something. And it was like telling you how to meet people. Anyways, very interesting side note from my day.
You know, it's funny you said that because I was actually wondering, I'm like, I wonder what they put in there for like how to meet people on a date.
Yes, I wonder. Like,
they're like, go down to your local pharmacy and grab a bite to eat. And, you know, they used to have like the pharmacies used to be like slash restaurants or whatever.
Yes. And they're like all these ladies writing in about like, yeah, how do I meet people? Is there a number I can call where they can connect me with someone else? And I was like, boy, wow. Okay. Like if we didn't have, let's just think about this for a minute. If we didn't have social media, like you would not be with Tina. And if we didn't have podcasts and all of that, and I would not be with Joel. Like, that's a crazy thought because we came together through Facebook. So it's like, wow, I'm so glad to be widowed in this era and not in 1957 where it was much harder. And it was much harder on them like financially. Most of them didn't have jobs. And it was like a whole different thing. So anyways, I will report back as I read this. I just thought it would be like fascinating to read a book in 1957 about being widowed. So
yeah, that is pretty interesting.
Side note from my day. And on actual Valentine's Day, Joel was out of town, but he surprised me with like another gift and like he had left and he's like, I win, and left me another gift. But then when he got home, I was like, I win, and gave him the sunglasses. I gave him these. We are hoping they're not fake Oakleys.
They're Folkleys.
They're Folkleys. I literally read that on a website last night. So I was like, we were looking at them in downtown Portland. He's like, let's get them cheaper. And then I went on Amazon. And so they were like 200 in the store. And I'm like, they're 99. Yes. But then they came yesterday. And there's a few things that look like they could be fake. So, but he took them. He's going to go try them out today. So we'll see.
Nice.
We'll see about that. Let's see what else. That's mostly what I've done since then. Oh, on Valentine's Day, I did think about Luke. Like, it's a strange thing. I'm sure you can relate to this. Like, I'm having a great time with Joel, but there is this sadness and I'm remembering, unfortunately, I don't have Facebook memories anymore because I have a new account. So they aren't popping up, but I'm remembering other Valentines and just like, I miss Luke and the things we used to do. And so it was just kind of a strange feeling. And made a little post about him and took the kids out to eat. They wanted to go to McDonald's for Valentine's Day because when they were little, every Valentine's Day, we'd meet at McDonald's, meet my parents. They'd take the kids and Luke and I would go out. So to them, it's like what they used to do. So that was fun. And they do this thing at the kids' school in high school. All the girls start the day with like a sticker heart on them. And if they talk to a boy, they have to give the heart to them. And it's like a tradition. And then on St. Patrick's Day, they do it the opposite way. And Haley's like, nope, I'm keeping my heart, fourth year in a row. And she didn't lose her heart. So she was all excited about that. So anyways, that's a bunch of my stuff. Kids are on winter break. Like they just had Christmas and then a week off for snow. And now we have winter break and then spring break. So they're going to go up and see their grandparents and hang out there for a little bit. And yeah, so that's enough about me. It was 7 minutes about me. That gives you a lot of time in Rob time.
Plenty of time.
You know, to talk about yourself. So what's been going on with you?
Well, I was born December 10th, 1979. And no. no, you know, to be honest, it wasn't that long ago that we recorded. I haven't had a whole lot going on. My son has like he seems to be better now, had like a stomach bug. And that was after my daughter getting strep throat that I said on the last episode, I believe. So she is healing up nicely.
Good.
And you know, I've worked and, you know, not done much or whatever, just, you know, some cleaning around the house. So nothing too exciting. I did order some, new exercise equipment. I got some dumbbells. Nice. So I'm excited about that.
Yes.
Cause I don't have time to like go to the gym to like work out and stuff, but I have gone to the gym a couple times lately to use the sauna and the steam room, which I love. It's like so relaxing for me. So, you know, and that's just kind of like an in and out. They watch my kids for a half an hour or whatever it is while I'm in there. So that's been cool. Okay. This is weird.
Okay.
My daughter has her first crush.
Ah, so cute.
Yeah. Yeah. She's like, Daddy, he asked me to be his Valentine. And I'm like, okay. And I like looked at Tina because she's like done this before, you know? And I'm like, oh, what do I say? You know? So it was cool, so though. Cute. I kind of did tell her the right things and just said, like, you're too young for that.
Yeah.
And, you know, you guys can be friends, but you need to understand what he's actually asking you and things like that. And so, she told him, yes, she would be his Valentine, but that she's not allowed to do anything except be friends or whatever. But,
sweet.
So then I found out she sent an email to him. They have an email now in fourth grade. They have email.
Right. Yes.
And she said, I just wanted to tell you that that I've taken a liking to you also.
Oh,
and
gosh.
She's like, but please don't tell anybody in the school. And so he said, yeah, no problem or whatever.
So cute. Wait, but how did you know? Like, do you get to see
her
emails?
She told me, and I told her, I said, any email correspondence, I'm reading it. So,
yep. Good dad.
You know, if he sends you anything, I want to read it. If you send him anything, I want to read it. So, you know, it kind of freaks me out. I'm like, what is coming, you know?
Yep.
So, you know, that's when I got to start, you know, getting my rifles all cleaned and ready. No, I'm just kidding. That's like the, anyways. So, but that's about all that's been going on with me. I haven't had too much going on new. We only recorded, a handful of days ago. So, but I am in love with this really beautiful, amazing girl. And yes. We have a very special treat for you all today. The one and only mystery girl is actually here with us today, Tina Gillenwater. Now, I just want to say a couple of things about her before I hand her the mic, so to speak. She tries really hard to be as humble as I am. And I just I just think it's so amazing. And it's just, you know, it just really touches my heart how hard she tries to be as humble as I am. And, you know, she's aiming for the stars and she knows that. But anyways, I would just like to introduce all of you to my beautiful, amazing girlfriend, Tina Gillenwater. Hey, Tina, how are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. How'd you like that introduction? Have you ever been introduced like that before?
I have not. And I'm still working on being as humble as you.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'll get there, but I'm trying.
You know, it's a hard skill. So don't hold your breath because it's okay. Really challenging to get
no
this
pressure.
Good. But yeah, no pressure. So thank you so much for being here with us, Tina. We really, really appreciate it. And I know a lot of our listeners have wanted to know more about you. And I love edifying you and talking about you all the time in the podcast and telling everybody about how great you are. But why don't you tell us a little bit about, you know, yourself and, well, I mean, everybody knows about you. Let me start this over. Why don't you tell us a little bit about John and how you guys met?
Okay. So I met John in, I think it was 1995. We were sophomores in high school. We met in science class and he was the funny guy and we sat right beside each other in class. So he was always like making jokes and making me laugh. And he also liked to sleep in class a lot. So that was, it was a funny thing. Our science teacher would like come up beside him and like do things to wake him up. Like sometimes he would drop like a book or like use a water dropper on the back of his neck to wake him up. So most teachers would be like, you know, really upset about somebody going to sleep. But Mr. Webster really liked doing funny things to wake people up if they fell asleep in his class. So
that's awesome.
But yeah, so he was just super funny. I knew right away that he was a really good guy. You could just tell that he had a big heart. And we were both in a club called Natural Helpers Club. So that was a club where students help other students that are going through things. So, you know, we had to go to a camp and we went through some training to learn how to kind of be there for our peers and things like that. And so honestly, just knowing he was in that group, I knew he had a great heart, you know. Kind of had a little thing for him then. And by the end of that school year, we went to that camp together, but we were, you know, we were just friends. And at the end of camp, there was a dance. One of my friends told me that John wanted to dance with me at the dance. And so I kind of did too. And it was a great time. We had our first slow dance, but then like after that, we just kind of disconnected and it was summertime and we just really didn't connect again until like our senior year of high school. Our senior year right before prom, I was going to prom with a friend from school and he ended up getting in a car accident like a week before prom.
Oh, no.
And so John, being who he was, like, reached out and just started, like, calling me to check on me to see how I was doing and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, from there on out, we talked pretty much every day. And right before graduation, we decided to start dating. Mm-hmm. And so that was in 97. Wow. And yeah, so yeah,
he was a really, really great guy. So you guys were together for 2 years when you got married, is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And how did you know that you wanted to marry John?
I knew because I felt super safe with him. Mm. He was just the way that he loved and protected not only me, but I saw that, like, with his mom and his little sister, and I could just, and his friends, like, he was always, you know, just the friend that cared about everybody else and was always checking in on people. And so I don't know. I knew. I mean, after, you know, in high school, I did kind of struggle. I was one of those girls that did feel like I always had to have a boyfriend and things like that. But once I got with John, I just knew, like, he was the one.
That's awesome. And I will say that I have, by choice and by interest, I've learned an awful lot about John, and I've scrolled through his Facebook and, you know, and just all the stories you've shared with me and different things, letters and this and that. And he was a very amazing, unique man, and he was hilarious. And I had a very similar sense of humor to him. Yes. I could tell, because there's so many things that he posts that I could just picture you rolling your eyes at, but I'm like just cracking up laughing. I just think it's hilarious. And so he was a very special man for sure, and very unique. And it's one of those people that when you learn about them, you just wish you could know them. Mm-hmm. And so you were very blessed, as you know, to be married to him. And
yes,
of course, you know that I think he was incredibly blessed to be married to you also.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So I know that at a certain point in your marriage, he did something very, very special. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
I do. Can you share that story with us?
Yes. So probably about 5 years into our marriage, we had two littles, and life was just kind of tough. And, you know, we were going through some ups and downs, kind of like you do when you're young and married and trying to do life. And so that was in 2005. And in November of 2005, my dad passed. It was about 2 weeks after we found out that he had terminal cancer. And so we weren't prepared. We were told that he had about 6 months, and he died 2 weeks later. So it was a big shock. But my anniversary was a couple weeks after my dad passed. And I had no idea that John was planning a surprise vow renewal for our 6 year, because when we initially got married, we weren't believers and we had been through a lot since then. So John really wanted to, like, rededicate ourselves to each other and, like, before God as followers. Mm-hmm. And so, the morning of December 4th, 2005, we were getting ready for church just like normal. And John was like, "Hey, you know, I really like when you wear your hair, like, curly and, like, the sides pulled back." And so I thought it was kind of strange, but I was like, okay. So I wore my hair that way. And I thought, well, it's our anniversary, you know, I don't know. So, and then a friend of mine called me actually and said, that her little girl got, like, a hole in her tights, and she wanted me to bring some tights up from my little girl so she could change before church. And so the plan was for me to bring the tights downstairs to the church. And so still I was oblivious. I had no clue what was going on. And we get to church and pull in and park, and John looks at me, and he was very just passionate and just very communicative and emotional and things like that. So he looks at me and he's like, "What would you say if I asked you to marry me again today?" And I just looked and smiled real big. I was like, "In a heartbeat." still oblivious, had no clue what was about to happen. And so I look over, I see my friend holding the door open downstairs. So I have the tights and I'm going to bring the tights to her for her little girl. And John follows behind me. And so when she opens the door and I walk in, I like look and there are like three dresses hanging up in this room downstairs. And I was so confused. There were two wedding dresses and a beautiful red gown. And so I'm like confused as to what's going on. And then he asked me again then to marry him. And he did have a different ring for me at that point. And of course I said yes, but then I just realized right after that, like, oh, my dad's not here. And so it's like, who's going to walk me down the aisle? It was just, that was just kind of like a moment. But then he explained to me that my great uncle was going to do that, which is, you know, my dad's uncle. But so I chose one of the dresses and got ready, still kind of like, oh my gosh, what is going on? I'm getting married again today, you know? but it was so beautiful. And my kids, you know, they already had outfits picked out for them, not the clothes I brought them to church in. So Alyssa had a sweet little like Christmas dress because it was Christmas themed because our anniversary is in December. And, you know, they were getting them ready and, it was just beautiful. John sang to me as I walked down the aisle, our song. And anyway, so we renewed our vows that day and it was just amazing. And that's just the kind of man that he was, you know?
Sounds like a Hallmark movie. Like, amazing.
Yes. And it was.
Which dress did you choose? One of the wedding ones or the red one?
Yes, I chose one of the wedding dresses. So So we did have my first dress when we got married initially was borrowed from my friend Trudy. And so that dress was there. So I could have worn the same dress I wore. Uh-huh. And then my friend Michelle brought her wedding dress and it looked completely different than the first one. And so that's the one I chose. And it fit perfectly.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's amazing.
How does that happen? Right? Yeah. So that was beautiful. And something that was super special was we used to do a nightly devotional by James Dobson. And he shared in that he and his wife would do like random acts of kindness to show each other love. And so every time they would do that, they'd leave a little note that said Smiley, which is Shmily. And it means see how much I love you. And so the day of our wedding, John had there were like buckets of long stem red roses at the end of each aisle. So after the ceremony, as everyone came up to congratulate us, he had them bring me a long stem rose. And he had that saying printed out on every single rose, which was like 150 roses. They said Smiley and they had a little smiley face on them. So as everyone came up, they gave me that. Like he thought through every detail. And it was a magical day. It was, like something I'd never experienced. And he was just so special and he was so good at showing love, you know?
Such a beautiful Absolutely. Man. I mean, that's just awesome.
That's amazing.
I'm thoroughly impressed that he kept that all a surprise for me because that's a lot of planning.
I know. I had no clue. And he told Alyssa, I think about a week before, and she was 4 years old. And she didn't say anything. So somehow she knew or he told her, but she never even mentioned it to me.
Probably offered her a bribe of some candy.
Yeah, I'm sure. There was something.
that's amazing. So I also know that you guys had, and I, you know, haven't prepped you for any of this, sorry, but I know that you guys had a really fun, really special date night one time.
Oh, yes.
That involved a thrift store.
Yes. So, gosh, I think this was probably 2017 when John started telling me, have you seen the Goodwill date nights? So couples would go to like a thrift store or Goodwill and pick out outfits for one another, but they're like hideous outfits. And you have to actually go on a date in this and you don't let anyone in on what you're doing. So you like go out in public in these horrible outfits and have your date night. And I refused. I was like, no, maybe our home group could do it. Like maybe our whole group, if it's a whole group, I'm not going to feel as like silly or whatever in this crazy outfit. But he's like, no, we're not going to do it with our home group until we do it first. So it was, I think it was 2018. It was our anniversary. I said, okay, I'll do it. So we went to Goodwill and we picked out outfits for each other. And I did refuse a few things that he picked out. I'm like, no, I'm not wearing that. And so, but we went on that, and that was like the most fun date night we ever had. Like, I don't like attention drawn to me at all, but we laughed like from start to finish that night. Like it was so much fun. And I've thought about actually challenging people like on Valentine's Day or something, like sharing our Goodwill date night and being like, okay, I want everybody to do this and, you know, tag me and, you know, in your Goodwill date nights.
But other people, right, Tina?
Yeah, yes. You guys do it.
Okay. No, listen, I'm up for it if you'll do it with me. That would be great.
All right, as long as you don't make me wear corduroy.
See pictures.
No, you don't have to. I wore corduroy on our Goodwill date night.
Yeah, didn't one of you had bell bottoms?
Yes, I had pink corduroy bell bottoms.
Oh nice. My goodness.
With bowling shoes, black and white bowling shoes. It was terrible.
Oh my gosh.
That's great. No,
sorry.
Joel is gonna listen to this. He's gonna be like, let's do that. Like he would love that. Like
so that how thing. Do you feel about that? Would you do it?
Oh, I would do it, yeah. Yes. We've done something similar within a group, but we've never just us do it done that.
So yeah, we'll I see. Guess I yeah. would do it. You know, I mean if you wanted to do it, I would do it. So I'm just all nervous. You haven't even asked. I'm like already getting all sweaty and clammy and nervous.
That's
fans
how I was.
Are expecting pictures. So, you know,
yeah. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
So maybe we'll just do like a double date. You know, we'll have to meet up somewhere. You and Joel, Mark and I will go.
That would be fun. Tonight. If there were four of us, that would be less awkward. Totally.
Right. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
That's true. Yes. That's awesome. Tina, John, he was, would you say like a part-time pastor or?
I know he did
a couple sermons.
Yeah.
And he was qualified to be a pastor.
Right. He actually did more than a couple. So he only did a couple at our church that we're currently at, but he actually evangelized a lot over the years. So, it's kind of really cool. Like our pastors were interviewed for a video that we did about John after he died. And both of our pastors said like they felt like John was like their pastor. He was so good at encouraging people. And like one of our pastors specifically is introverted, which is funny as a pastor, right? But he would sometimes be feeling a little anxious before going up to preach a sermon. And he said, John had a way of knowing when I was feeling that way. And he would just come up and like pray with me before service. Mm-hmm. And he was so good at that. He was so thoughtful. Like typically it's a woman in the relationship that's reminding the man, okay, we need to do this for this person and we need to do that for that person. But he was that person in our relationship. Like it was, oh, hey, so-and-so's having surgery this week. Like we really need to check in on them or send something. Or he would remind me sometimes when I forgot, like, hey, you know, a couple of ladies from our group have this going on. Maybe you should touch base with them. And he really, really taught me how to love other people well, because I'm an introvert. So I typically just, I do things. I love to serve and I love to help people, but I'm not super outgoing. I'm not going to be the first to reach out. And he was so good at that. And I learned, just a whole lot about how to love other people, like from watching him, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah. He was very gifted. I heard testimonies. I watched his Celebration of Life and the things that people said about him. You've also shared with me a lot of things that people said about him. I've read through all the Facebook posts at that time when people were saying things about him, when your church made a post about his passing and, it's just amazing. It's remarkable that, first of all, how many people had such incredibly kind, loving things to say about him, but it was so consistent. That was something that was just like a revolving pattern that I noticed. It was so consistent what everybody said about him, that he was exactly who you saw. that he was mm-hmm. really good at loving people, that he would stop and pray for you. Like, he wasn't one of those mm-hmm. people that's like, I'll pray for you. All right, mm-hmm. see you later. Like, we are all guilty of. Mm-hmm. I know from you sharing that with me too, that he was the person that's like, let's just pray right now. And I love yes. people like that.
Yeah.
Yes, so, I try to be like that, but yeah, mm-hmm. go ahead.
And that's what I was going to say. When he first, rededicated his life to God, he was just like so on fire. And so he was sharing the gospel with everyone, and he still did that. Even up until he died. But I remember being in Walmart, like specifically, and somebody's like telling him what's going on in their life. And he's, they're saying, will you please pray for this, pray for that? And he's like, well, let's just pray now. And so we're in the middle of Walmart, and I'm like, I'm introverted. So I'm like, okay, everybody's looking at us. And we're standing in Walmart holding hands with this, whoever it was, and he's praying for them. And he doesn't care if he's listening, who's watching. And
that's awesome.
I love that. And
but kind of hate it at the same time, right?
Yes. Yeah. No, so after we got out of the situation, it was like, man, I really wish I had what he has, that kind of just pure love for people, that he doesn't care who's watching. He does, that kind of thing. I am not that way. I care a lot about what people think,
Yeah, it's a struggle of mine, as you know, too. Mm-hmm. So fast forwarding to the end of 2020.
Mm, yeah.
What can you tell us about that time?
Well, 2020 for everybody was crazy, as you all know. I was having a ton of anxiety just about world events and things that were going on, about COVID. All the things. John's job had gotten really stressful for him. There were things that he was concerned about. And so it was just an unsettling time. Mm-hmm. And so he was, I'm trying to think where to go with this. So he, on December 4th, or not December 4th, so December 4th, 2020 was our 21st anniversary. Mm-hmm. So we celebrated just a couple of days after that, and we were also celebrating Alyssa's birthday. So we went to Olive Garden for our anniversary date, kind of, and also a birthday celebration for her. And even that night, that was one of the things we ran into a young girl that we know from church, we've known for years, and her dad was in the hospital, and he's like slipping her cash before we leave because he wanted to help with gas. That was just the kind of person he was. And, we had a great anniversary. And then, December 8th, he's a shift worker. So he had been off for a week, and it was, time for him to go back on night shift. And so I worked that day until about 3. And when I came home, I made dinner, we had burgers, and he had to leave a little after 4 to go to work. Everything was normal. When I first got home, he had mentioned leaving a message for a lady's uncle that was in the hospital with COVID, just trying to encourage their family and help them with what they were dealing with. And, but other than that, we didn't talk a lot. We texted back and forth a lot that day. And then, Alyssa and I were, out looking at Christmas lights that night. And so I sent him a picture of our old house, our little tiny house that my kids grew up in, and it was all decorated. So I sent him a picture of that. He sent back hearts and, just kind of interacted. And then about 8:30 that evening, he called us as we were on our way home. And there was an incident that happened like close to where we used to live, and he knew we were over that way. So he was just calling to check to make sure we were fine. And we talked for a bit. He told me a few things that he was concerned about that was going on at work that night. And, we said, I love you, and got off the phone. And then probably about an hour after that, I was downstairs. My kids were upstairs, and, I get a text from John that it just said, I love you. And it had like the two little pink hearts, and, something just felt off. Like I just had this like pit in my stomach, like something's not right. because normally it would be like, I love you, baby. I hope your night's going well, or I hope you have a good night. It was usually much more than that. And we always texted good night. And so I felt something at that point, and I texted back immediately. I love you too, honey. And, you know, and, but that was pretty much all I said. And then, about 30 minutes after that, I get, a phone call from my sister, and she's asking, exactly where my husband works or what building he works in. And so I told her, and then she kind of told me that she had heard something was going on there. Mm-hmm. And then before I know it, my kids are coming downstairs, both kind of in a panic. She had texted them and told them, like, you need to go to your mom. Mm-hmm. And so they come downstairs, and I told them what she was saying, that we heard something was going on at the place that he worked. And so then we immediately start calling his phone. And it goes to voicemail every time. Like, it just doesn't ring. It just goes straight to voicemail. We're calling his work and not getting an answer. Like, and then finally we do get someone probably 15 minutes in, and they can't give us any answers as to what's going on, what's really happening. And my son's looking up, you know, things, news reports and things like that, trying to figure out what's going on. So, without going into too many details, it, from that time until it was 10 o'clock until midnight, we really had no idea what was happening, what was going on. I knew that it was bad, because if John was okay, he would have wanted us to know that he was okay. And so for knowing his phone was off and, that he didn't reach out, I knew that it was bad. But so about midnight, we get a call from someone at his work, and they, you know, we got the call that we wanted to hear, that he was on the way to the hospital with a broken leg. And so we're all just like so relieved. And then we get off the phone, and I'm like, that's not right. Like, I knew something. I'm like, if he just had a broken leg, he would have let us know. Like, he would have. So anyway, but it was about just a little, maybe 30 minutes after that, we get a call from the ER doctor, and he pretty much let us know what was going on and that he wasn't going to make it. And he said, and so he said, are you guys here? And so all that time we were calling different hospitals. We were trying to figure out, like, where is he going? What's going on? But nobody would give us information. So we were still home, like, trying to figure out, like, okay, where do we go? Where is he going to be taken and things like that?
That is so traumatic.
It was awful. And so the ER doctor's like, are you here? Do you want to see him? And I'm like, no, we're not there. We didn't even know where to go. And so I'm like, we're on our way. So by that point, my sister and my niece had came over, to just be with us to figure out what was going on. And so my niece, you know, was going to drive us all to the hospital. So we all get in her car. And before we even got out of the neighborhood, the ER doctor calls back and said, I'm really sorry, he didn't make it. Mm. And, you can't prepare yourself for that. You know, when it's just, when I talked to him at 8:30 on the phone, he was fine. He was frustrated kind of about what was going on at work, but he was okay. He was completely fine. He had dinner before he left to go to work. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, no, this is not real. But
what a tragedy. Yeah,
it was just the worst night of our life.
Yeah. Wow. I know, as you know, and as our listeners know, Michelle and I, we knew it was coming. We knew the end was coming for our spouses. So it's so hard for me to wrap my mind around what that must have been like to just find out in an instant like that, that your whole world is just gone. It's upside down. Mm-hmm. It's backwards. It's and to not know what was going on. I'm so sorry. And you know, I mean, just from our personal conversations, how much my heart pours out to you for what you've been through and for what your kids have been through and all that. And, right. For those listening, it doesn't really matter what happened, the details. It just matters that he went to work and never came home. And so what were those first, I mean, we know that night must have been, I mean, can you, first of all, before I even ask this other question, can you even like remember that first night? Like, I'm not asking you for details, but like, can you, do you remember it? Or was it just so like crazy that like you can't recall a lot of the events from the night?
I do remember it, but I remember the shock of it and remember like not even being able to express the emotion. Like I was so like, I couldn't believe what was happening. And like, you know, I would cry, but then it was like, I didn't believe what was going on. So it felt like almost like an out of body experience kind of thing, because it's like, I'm dreaming, like this isn't real. So I do remember the things that happened. I remember my pastor coming up, all the family coming to the hospital, and everyone just being like devastated. We didn't know. And then, you know, we get home. We didn't get home until after like 3 a.m. And then, you know, I had to be with my kids. I said, I need just some time with me and my kids. So we went to my room, and that's probably one of the hardest conversations I've ever had to have, but it was one of the sweetest conversations too, because we were all talking about how we're going to be okay and talking about his example. Just, and my son was just at the point, he was just like, you know, I want to be like, Dad, I know I have really big shoes to fill. And then we kind of laughed because his dad wore size 15s. And so he said, so it was funny because John's shoes were at the end of the bed, and we were having this conversation, and he said, you know, I really want to make Dad proud. And we were just talking about how blessed we had been to have him in our life, because, you know, some kids don't have good parents or don't have a dad. Logan had a friend whose dad, you know, died suddenly when he was young. And he's like, well, I got to have my dad longer. And, you know, so we were trying to find the positive things in that, but it was just so like, I still feel like it. I'm looking at myself going through that. Does that make sense? It's kind of such a weird experience, but, yeah. And then, barely slept at all that night. And I did lay down with Alyssa. And I slept in her room for probably 2 weeks after he died. And so that was a comfort for both of us.
So that next morning when you woke up, did you have to remember again?
Oh yeah. And I think,
you know what I mean? Did you like kind of wake up and go, oh yeah. You know, because I know it was like that for me.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you guys. I feel like for the longest time, that's how it was. Every time I woke up, it's like, oh my gosh, John's gone. Like, I just remember that feeling of like, just having to remind myself, like I couldn't, and it was seriously probably about a year before I accepted he is really gone. He's not coming home. And it's so weird. And I've read things and watched videos about how our mind does that. Like we're so used to the routine of life and that person being there that we really do expect them to walk through the door, even though we know that they're not going to. And, I just kept picturing that, like, you know, when he would work night shift, and he would come in the mornings, he'd come in the bedroom door every morning and he'd say, good morning, baby. How'd you sleep? Like just routine. And so for the longest time, I'd wake up and I'd look at the door expecting him to walk through the door and say, good morning, baby. And so,
traumatic.
Yeah. And I think we all, I mean, kind of go through that. It is so, you know, you really do have to go through some healing, I think, to be able to accept, that kind of loss, you know?
For sure. It's it definitely is very real PTSD, because you have to keep living the horror over and over and over again. And still to this day, I have moments, and I know you guys do too, of just, it just hits you. You're like, whoa, like I can't believe for me. I'm like,
yeah,
you know, I can't believe she's gone. Like, mm-hmm. I cannot believe she died. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it's horrible. And so, but especially, yeah, like you're saying, in that beginning cloudy time of life where everything's just so confusing. And like, I just remember the biggest feeling was like, what now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what yes. now? And that was like the most overwhelming, scary, aggravating feeling. And I'd have to imagine that it was everything that I felt. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, you and I have had this conversation several times, Tina, that, you know, you think what I went through was very hard, and it was, and I think what mm-hmm. you went through was really hard, and it was, and I am thankful
yes.
that we both have very different stories, so that while we do have a deep understanding for what each other's been through, there's just really no comparison to the two things. It's mm-hmm. not that one's easier, one's harder, one's this, one's that. It just doesn't matter. It's just, we've both been through traumatic, incredible trauma and stress. And, but I would personally have to imagine that this aspect of what we're talking about right here, of the waking up every day and having to remember and having to have the reminder that there is no routine anymore. There yeah. is no marriage anymore. That was like mm-hmm. the hardest thing oh, to yeah. accept. Like, whoa, I'm not yes. married anymore. Right. This is weird. But I would have to imagine for what you went through, that was even more intense than, mm-hmm. you know, and obviously I can't speak for Michelle, but just saying that we saw it coming. So right. it was probably much easier for us to accept the reality, even though it was still very hard. It probably came a little bit more naturally. And so I want to ask you, oh, go ahead, Michelle.
I was just going to comment on when you were talking about, you know, if it was like that for us, just this last week, my Peyton, my now 16-year-old, he was 12 and a half at the time. He literally brought up the subject. He said, did you ever, when daddy died, did you ever wake up and have to remember? And I was like, mm-hmm. yeah. He's like, I did that for a long time. So it's interesting, mm-hmm. you know, it affects our kids too.
Yeah.
You know, they have those same kind of things. And then it was just like this deep discussion. He's the one who brings up these deep topics all the time about grief and all these things. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it definitely, I had Haley sleep with me for like 3 months. So I get having, yeah. you know, having my daughter there to comfort me. Right. It's mm-hmm. just, it was comforting like for both of us to have each other. And I just remember when she moved out, how alone I'd felt. I was like, I haven't slept alone for like 17 years. Like,
yes.
this is really weird. Mm-hmm. And then I was just during grief recovery a couple of days ago, talking with someone, we were talking about that, like, I'm not married, what we were just talking about. Like, when I had to fill out the first form that said widow, divorce, blah, oh, blah. Yeah. And then it said date, marriage ended. And I was like, oh, I guess that's the day he died. And just that mm-hmm. feeling of,
yes.
like, ugh. But anyways, we can go back to your question, Mark.
No, you're good. That reminded me of something. First of all, I think that's awesome that he's talking about it.
Yes,
I think
me
that's
too.
Fantastic. Yeah.
He's really processing mm-hmm. a lot now.
That's really good. And then I know we've talked about this before on the podcast, but it's been quite a while since we've talked about it. But I hated when you'd go to fill out a form and your only options were single or married.
Yes.
It was like, yes. no, me other. Too. I would make in my own box, other, widowed.
I wrote widowed.
Me too. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
And so 100%. It's just funny. I know a lot of people relate to that because it's like, no, I need another option because it's neither of these, you know?
Right. Yes. Sometimes they don't have the widowed option. Yes. Yeah, so right. I would definitely write it in.
mm-hmm. So, Tina, I know, and our listeners obviously know from listening, that you and John, very strong believers, mm-hmm. Just a ideal Christian couple, what you think of when you think of a Christian marriage. I know that you guys were that. So what was your faith like in those beginning stages? Because I know it's mm-hmm. our tendency to go to God in these things. So
yeah,
what was that like for you?
So initially I felt like my faith was bolstered because I had, we had so much support and just an outpouring of like people showing up and like what I call God winks. I'm sure people have heard, you know, people say mm-hmm. things like that, where you just know that whatever happened had to come from God, because it couldn't have just been, you know, just a coincidence or something like that. So for the first couple weeks, like so many people showed up and so many things happened that I was like, that's God. That's God. And so it was, I just felt surrounded and loved on by people. And I felt the love of God being poured out through those people. But really after a few weeks, as the grief was setting in, the reality of our situation set in, I started getting really angry. And I was just thinking about John and like the man that he was and the person that he was. He was such a better person than I was, or I probably will ever be. Like, he loved people so well. And I just, as I would think about that, I was just getting angrier and angrier. And I really didn't know how to handle that. I didn't know what to do with it. I felt like I was arguing with God, you know. It's like, why? Like, why did you do this? Like, he shared the gospel with so many people, more people than I'll ever share the gospel with in my lifetime. And he truly cared about people's salvation. And sometimes I get so caught up in my life and the things that I want to do. And I'm not as focused that way and sharing my faith with other people and things like that. So I was just really angry. But I felt like this, I've shared this several times with people, during that time. Like, I seriously, my kids would leave the house and I would go to my room and I would literally just kick and scream and cry and like, God, like, why did you do this? And like, so mad. And I just felt like I seriously could see God like sitting on the edge of my bed and like just saying, okay, I'm here. Get it out. Like, I know you're hurting, and just basically letting me have my tantrum, but he never went anywhere. And he still continued to send people, like one person after another. I have a dear friend that lost her husband a few years before me. And this is kind of crazy the way this happened. But after she lost her husband, I was cleaning houses for people at the time. So someone called and said, hey, could you help with this? And so I remember going to her house for the first time after her husband passed to clean. And they were out of the house and I'm seeing all their family pictures and I'm just like crying, like, oh my gosh, this poor woman like lost her husband. And right after John passed, she showed up at my house, and every Thursday for 2 years, she was at my, she came to my house to give me support. And so God did that. Like, that wasn't. And so even though I was angry and I don't understand why it happened when it happened, I know that was part of his plan. But he continued to take care of me through other people, through your all's podcast. Like, honestly, I was like seriously like searching for things. I'm like, oh my gosh, like, I don't know how I can get through this. Okay, if other widowed people, I know there have been other people that are my age that have been through things, but I don't know any other than my friend. Like, she was the only person that I knew that was close to my age that had been widowed. And so I was like searching online. And then, you know, one day I'm on Facebook and I see, you know, the for you things that come up in the top of your Facebook. And I saw Widowed Too Soon. And I'm like, as soon as I saw the title, I'm like, oh, I bet they're young. I bet they're fairly young because it says Widowed Too Soon. And so I go on the Facebook page and I join your Facebook page. And then I love podcasts. Like, that's kind of my thing. I listen to podcasts all the time. So when I saw you guys have a podcast, I'm like, ooh, and I started listening like through the Facebook link that you used to post, Michelle. And so it was the timing was just right. Like, for me, I was starting to figure out like what's my life look like now, kind of thing. And your podcast was perfect for that. Like, you guys are around my age, you know. 29, Michelle.
Yes.
We're both 29.
Yeah, somehow Mark's way older than us, but we're
I know. I'm rolling the cradle.
The girls are young. But anyway, I just remember thinking, okay, they're in like the same season of life and they're laughing and they're having fun and they're, you know, they're hurting still, but they're moving forward with their life. And it was just so refreshing. Like I remember like laughing and crying and, you know, all the things. And that's kind of what you want in this season. Like we've talked about before, you know, some widowed sites are just, it's almost depressing to read and to listen to some of the things, because it is all like sadness and grief and you're never going to get out of it. But I remember Michelle specifically too, you saying it will get better. And I remember, I'm like, okay, it's going to get better. And so, you know, it was a huge blessing. And, you know, and also dating's not a four-letter word. That was a big one for me too. And it's funny, you know, to see that that's, you know, one of your popular episodes too, because it was, I felt like it kind of gave me permission. I've told Mark several times before that you all gave me permission to laugh again. And that was, I think that was on one of your, you actually said that like in your podcast, it's okay to laugh. And so I remember feeling like, oh, this is so refreshing and this is good for me, you know?
Wow.
Thank you guys.
Oh, so welcome. It's just, I don't know, this whole thing like just blows me away when I just, you know, think about it. Like just crazy. We've talked about the butterfly effect, you know, like the whole thing.
Yes.
Like we wouldn't be sitting here. You guys wouldn't be together. Like, it's just a lot. Like, wow. It's like humbling that God has used us so much in so many people's lives, and just to hear how God used us in your life and then, you know, you and Mark, it's just amazing. It just really is great. And I love seeing like the joy that you have now. I'd love to hear more about, so that's kind of where you were in the beginning. And then where did, like, what was life like for you? Like, a few months after, like, when did things, like, when did you start laughing again? When did you find your joy again? What was that process like for you?
I think it was, I mean, it was probably months after before I really felt like it was okay to laugh. It was okay to do things with friends. I remember, well, it was my birthday that year afterwards, some girls from church planned to take me to like one of those axe throwing places.
Oh, fun.
And it was going to be on the 9th of the month. And so, you know, at that point, you're still counting like the months. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if it's okay to go do that on the 9th of the month, because what if I'm really sad that day? And, you know, or is this disrespectful to John? Like, I don't know if I should do this or not. And I actually called John's dad and I was talking to him about it. And he said, so what are you, you know, you have to live your life. You can't sit out the 9th of the month for, you know, for years. Forever, like you need to go and have fun with your friends, and there's nothing wrong with that. And that was really sweet to me. And it meant a lot coming from his dad, you know.
He's a really great man too.
Oh, yes. He's a pastor. He's a great man. John was very much like his dad. And so, but then it took a while for me to feel okay doing that. I even felt guilty that night out, like, because we took a picture at the axe throwing place and everybody's smiling. And I'm like, is this okay? And I didn't want it posted on Facebook because I didn't want it to seem like I didn't care. Like, it's such a weird life, isn't it? I mean, so it took a while. For me to feel normal again and like it was okay to like go out and do things and have fun.
And did you go back to work right away, or what was that like for you?
I went back to work about 6 weeks after, but I work at my church, so they were great. And at that point, I was still almost, I mean, it was therapy for me. I'd go in and the girls that I work with, they would just let me talk and cry for a bit and then we'd get to work. And so, it was perfect. And my church was great. Like our community, our family, our friends from church, and just our neighbors, like they just really, really surrounded us and took care of us, you know, those first few months.
It's amazing to watch the body of Christ come to life like that.
Yes.
And, one of the first things, if not the first things, that your daughter, Alyssa, shared with me was that because she knew I was watching the Marvel movies.
Yes.
And there is a scene from, I think it's from Endgame.
Yeah, the Avengers.
Yeah, the Avengers, the Endgame. And like where all these people are coming in through the portal to like back up, you know, all the other people or whatever. And I remember her telling me that that's what it felt like with everybody surrounding them, that they were just like there alone. You guys were like,
well, and there were, yes.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry, there were three people kind of left, or three of the Avengers were left. So she saw that as her and Logan and I. And so, and they were just like beat up and like felt like, oh my gosh, this is it. And then all of a sudden the portal opens up and then all of the people come to their rescue. And she said, like, she totally pictured that as our like church community, like coming and surrounding us. And we were just beat up and broken and they came and like took care of us. So she shared that with Mark, like right after, you know, we first started talking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'm pretty sure that was the first time I talked to her, that she like wanted to share that with me. And I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
That was really sweet and I will never forget that. But, yeah, it's such a difficult life. It really is. And like you said, like you pointed out something that I know so many people relate to, that it's like the, how am I supposed to do this? Like, is it okay to let, like, what if I do this? What if I go to this party? Does it look like, you know, like a little kid's birthday party or something? Does it look like, am I supposed to be home grieving still? Have I grieved long enough? Do people know how much I loved him? You know what I mean? There's so much of that, so many conflicting feelings of, you know, feeling like you want to feel some kind of normalcy again. But also, you don't want people to misinterpret or misunderstand anything. And that's really hard. It's just a horrible thing to go to. It is, I feel personally, losing a spouse or losing a child would have to be the hardest things on the planet to go through. Yeah. And it is just insanely difficult. And, you know, all grief is sad. All grief is relevant. All grief matters. But there is something very unique about being widowed, because your whole world just gets flipped upside down. Mm-hmm. And nobody like understands that, like, your whole world, your plans, all of the inside jokes, all of the, you know, the smiley, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All that stuff is just gone in an instant. And nobody really gets that unless they've been through it, just how much it affects you. Well, we had a guest, oh gosh, I can't remember who it was, but she was talking about buying mayonnaise in the store. Was that Andy?
Oh, Andy. Yeah.
Okay. And she was just saying that, like, that she can buy whatever kinds of mayonnaise she wants now, but she's like, I was sitting there and it was like, I got to get best foods. And then it's like, no, I can get any mayonnaise I want. Cause that was his mayonnaise. Like all these things that are going through your head in this very simple expedition of going to the grocery store to get mayonnaise, but your whole world has flipped and changed and all of that. So, it's just crazy. Michelle, were you going to say something?
Oh, I just had a couple questions. So what would you say is the most challenging thing about being widowed?
I think being alone for me is probably, not having someone to, which Mark has helped a lot lately, like when I have decisions to make about things. I don't like making decisions on my own. Like even I went to buy a car not too long ago because the car I had for almost 10 years and it was time to get a new one. It was the first time I've ever went, John and I, from the time I was with him from 18 years old till I was 41. And so we never purchased a car without each other. And so, 29. Yeah. Oh yes. 29. Sorry. Yeah. 29. Yeah. But, those types of things, any kind of big financial decisions. Yep. I have been thinking about, you know, selling my house, and that's kind of scary on my own too, because I've never done that. Just those types of things, making big decisions, being alone, you know, even going through graduate, like one of the hardest things was Logan's graduation, high school graduation, 6 months after he died. And John was such a big person. He loved our kids. Like, he was the best dad, like the most involved dad. Like, anything that the kids had going on that he wasn't at work, he was at their events. Like, he didn't want to miss anything. And so he was known for, like, graduation of the nieces and nephews and even Alyssa's. You know, sounds a little wild because some graduation ceremonies are kind of somber and things like that. But he would always, like, yell, and he'd be so loud and, like, celebrating. And so, you know, when Alyssa graduated, it was, you could hear him, like, it's on the video. You can hear him yelling for her, and she's smiling real big because she can hear her dad. And Logan didn't have that at graduation. And those types of things. Yes. Special events, you know that. Yes. Like, for your kids, my daughter's getting ready to get married in July. And so she's struggling so much with like what that's going to be like. And she wants the day to be about her and her fiance and them like getting married and spending their life together. But she also knows there's going to be a damper on that day because her dad's not going to be there. And so it's, you know, anything special like that is hard without them.
Definitely. Another question we like to ask, what advice would you give to a new widow?
Okay, that's good. Allow yourself to feel your feelings and take time to grieve. And I think something that was so helpful to me, you don't have to act like you have it all together all the time.
And that's good.
Yeah, advice. Because we want to say, people say, oh, how are you doing? And you're like, oh, I'm okay. When you're really far from okay, right? Mm-hmm. It's okay to say you're not okay. It's okay to take a day and just, I mean, I'm introverted, so maybe this is just particular for people that are introverted, but I like to just go in my room and shut the door and just grieve, cry it out. And then it's like, I feel like I give myself an allotted time. It's like, okay, that's enough. I don't want to be unhealthy in this. I don't want to just sit and dwell on the loss and the grief. But sometimes I feel like we just need to process it and get it out. So I would say that, like, don't hold it in, like, take time. I would wait until my kids were not home. And when they were gone, that was when I just kind of let it all out. And then I, you know, it might be 40 minutes, it might be 2 hours, but then it's like, okay, get up, wash your face, and, you know, get back to the routine of whatever I need to do that day.
That's really good advice.
Good advice, yeah.
Thanks.
So when you were, after you were done with the grieving process for that moment or whatever, when when you shut yourself in your room, when your kids were gone or whatever, was there something that like helped you feel like you were ready to move on from it for that moment? Mm-hmm. Or did it just, do you feel like you just cried it all out?
I think it was just a realization of, okay, this has been enough time. It's not going to be healthy for me to continue in this state of mind. So it was just kind of like, okay, this is enough. I don't know why I would just all of a sudden be like, okay, my kids could be home at any moment. And this is really going to be hard on them if mom's locked in her room in a puddle on the floor, you know? So I think I think, like, Michelle, you're what we feel we can heal kind of thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yes. So, yep, there you go. But that, I think it's really true. We have to feel. We cannot just go on like nothing happened. Like, our whole world turned upside down. And you're going to have to grieve that. You're going to have to cry it out. But you also, if you want to heal and you want to be healthy and you want to move forward, you can't stay there.
It's good. Mm.
Really good. Our next episode is going to be Tina Gillenwater Part 2, which is going to be Tina and I talking about what it's like, what it's been like to date a widow and a widower. Mm-hmm. So just sort of a little bit of a segue or a cliffhanger, if you will. Normally we ask people, or Michelle asks, what do you think about dating? So obviously men, widowers, she's taken back taken. Off. But what was it for you, Tina, that made you feel like you might possibly be ready to see what it'd be like to date again after 23 years of being with the same man?
Mm-hmm. I think it was the season of life I was in, and it was about a year after John died. And I had this weird sort of thing that I had thought about it, but I'm like putting it off. I'm like, okay, maybe after 2 years, I'll decide if I'm going to date again, because I didn't really want to process it too much because it made me feel bad. Mm-hmm. But after about a year, and my kids, Alyssa was at school and Logan was at school, and Alyssa would only come home on the weekend. So I was truly alone for the first time. Mm-hmm. And just every night, like being on the couch, like, what do I do? I go to work and come home, and it is like, this is the loneliest I've ever felt in my entire life. You know, John and I had been together since we were babies, practically 18 years yeah. old. And so I was lonely and I wanted a companion, and I missed having my best friend to like watch TV with, to hold hands, to, you know, all the things. And I remember crying to a friend at church, and I was just telling her like how lonely I was. And she said, have you thought about companionship? And I'm like, no, I can't do that. Like, and so it was just, I felt too guilty. And then as we talked more about it, I was like, well, I think if I would do that, it would have to be someone that's widowed and somebody that loved their spouse as much as I love John. And so that's kind of where I started, like when I was listening to the podcast, and when I would hear Mark talk about Lacey as his sweet bride, I'm like, oh, he loved her just as much as John loved me. Like I could just hear it. And I at that point, I really wasn't even thinking about Mark specifically because,
come on,
you know, because on. Of the no, I was, yeah, I was in a sense, but I also knew you said that you weren't up for long distance dating, and so I'm like, mm-hmm. I knew kind of your heart for Lacey and your heart for God, and I thought, well, it would have to be somebody like that, and it just so happened that, I sent the prayer request the night that you did the prayer request thing. And I sent mm-hmm. that in, and your response reminded me of John Gillenwater. Like it honestly did. I was like, that's like John's heart. Like you specifically answered the request that I had. You know, I was just talking about being angry and being in ministry and how hard that was. And you basically did tell me that God could handle that. And so it was just like, oh, this is great. And,
I vividly remember that because I was sitting at my table, my kitchen table in California when I was getting ready to move. And, I was about to take a bite of my Chipotle burrito. And I just had this overwhelming feeling that there's somebody on the Widow Too Soon page that needs prayers. And so I just went on her page, and I don't post on there very often. I went on her page and I said, I just have this feeling that somebody out there needs prayers. And I put myself out there because I'm also kind of introverted, which a lot of people wouldn't believe. I'm like an introvert extrovert. But,
and you don't like live things either.
I do. They make me nervous, you know?
Yeah. Was this a live video you did, or you just posted?
No, it was just a post. So I could type and edit, you know?
Okay.
I said, I'm going to sit on this post for 2 hours. That's my commitment to God. And I'm going to watch as every comment rolls in. I'm going to stop and pray for you specifically. So I said, please put your prayer requests in the comments. And I don't know why, it was just this overwhelming feeling, so much so that I committed to staying on that post, literally just sitting there updating, refreshing. And I just stayed right on that post. It was like my sort of like a fast to God that that's what I was going to do. That's all I was going to do for the next 2 hours was pray for people. And a few people responded. And that was another thing, is I felt embarrassed. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to feel so stupid if nobody responds to this, you know? And then I saw Tina, and her prayer request like really moved me, It really did, Tina, because it was so real and vulnerable and honest that I was like, wow, like this took courage. This took a woman of great faith. And it just, it really touched my heart in a special way too. So I really remember that vividly. And so I will ask you one last question and then give you a chance if there's anything else you want to say. Would you recommend, and obviously ask Michelle if you have any more questions, but would you recommend a widow date a man as humble as I am?
It was going to be a joke. Oh, the way you were like prepping, it's got to be a joke.
I was like, oh my gosh, this, he actually thought he was serious. I'm like, okay, what is this?
No, come on. You know me. I'm just kidding. There's no answer to that.
Right, right. Yeah, no, I don't know.
Yeah. So Michelle, did you have any more questions?
Oh, I just wanted to comment that that like last little story, which makes me super excited for next time we're going to record, like it brought tears to my eyes just knowing Mark's journey and then just, you know, God brought you him and it's just this beautiful, like, it's just like, let God write your love story. You know, I just told that to a widow the other day and I used my example and I was like, and my co-host and that is through the podcast, like you never know where it's going to come from. And it just like hearing you talk about it, like I've heard Mark talk about it, but to hear you talk about it, it just, it's so touching. And it's just like, whoa, like if we didn't do this podcast, like this wouldn't be, it's just crazy. Like I said earlier,
it is.
It's, just, it's really
and
cool.
So Michelle, are you sitting there going, I did this?
Well, I'm not as humble as you, but I did create this a little bit because if the podcast wouldn't have happened, you wouldn't have been.
No,
but,
it would
you know,
not have.
Let's say it was God, okay?
Because
he's in
we'll
the details.
We'll throw God a bone, I suppose.
You know, and like if we hadn't connected on Facebook, then we wouldn't be doing the podcast, and she wouldn't be here. You know, it's just like and I share that with you. I want to share it with the listeners really quick.
Oh,
it
yeah.
came full circle. I'm on this chat for, there's like chats within groups now. So I'm on a chat for Christians on Young and Widowed with Children. Well, that is the group that Mark and I first met on. And in this chat, they're talking about our podcast. It was like, hey, this is a great, great Christian podcast. And then I wrote back and they probably didn't know I was on there. And I was like, oh, thanks so much. And she was like, it helped me so much. And I was like, it's crazy because this is where I met my co-host. Like, it's just full circle. Like,
yeah, that's awesome. I didn't know the rest of that. That's cool.
Yes. Yeah. So then we chatted a little bit back and forth on there. I, you know, said, we're so glad it helped you. And she's like, yeah, so much, especially during the beginning of being widowed. Anyways, we're back.
That's awesome.
Let's move
on. No,
back
that's
to
great.
But
and
it
then
just,
so, oh, go ahead.
I mean, it's just beautiful to hear you guys talk about your story. And I'm so excited to be the one interviewing since Mark interviewed me and Joel last time. I'm excited to be the one interviewing and to hear more about your story and just the dynamics with a widow and a widower, because we've done the dynamics with divorced and widowed. And I can't wait to hear you guys more about your story.
Awesome.
So.
Yeah. And then my sweet Tina, do you have anything else that you want to add or anything else that we maybe forgot to ask or anything like that?
Not that I can think of. I was trying to decide if I should read this story that or the thing that John sent the day that he passed.
Definitely.
So maybe if that's okay to do that.
Please.
I mentioned earlier that John had sent a message to a man that was in the hospital with COVID because his niece asked people to reach out and send a message. And so this is one of those major God things that happened in the beginning that I was like, oh, this was God. And so that day John sent the message, but about a week later I get a call from the lady he sent the message to. And she said, hey, I just wanted to let you know that I was listening to all the messages for my uncle and I didn't recognize one of the numbers. And after listening to it, I realized it was John. And she said, I know John sent this message for my uncle, but I really think God meant it for you and your family. Mm. And so I'd like to read what John sent to the guy's name was Bob and he was in the hospital. And so John called to encourage him and gave him some scripture. But it is also talking about how we should trust the Lord when we don't understand things. And it was perfect for us in that time. So John calls and he addresses Bob and he says, I'd just like to read a little bit of scripture to you. This comes out of Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with all thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And then he said, you know, to think about that peace of God that passes our comprehension or our understanding is an amazing thing. And we just have to trust that he is able to give that to us. Proverbs chapter 3 says to trust in the Lord with all our hearts, to lean not on our own understanding. And then he said, so, you know, God knows that we are not able to understand everything. He knows that it's not possibly possible for us to understand it all. So he calls us to trust him. He never called us to understand it all, just to trust him. So that's what we do here. We trust the Lord. We come to him through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. We make our requests known and he tells us that he will give us his peace. And Paul goes on to say, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of a good report, if there's anything, any excellence and anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul, practice these things and the God of peace will be with you. And then John closed with saying, so the Bible calls our Heavenly Father a God of peace and the God of all comfort. So I'm praying and asking for him to bring you and your family peace and comfort. I'm asking the Lord to bring complete recovery to your health and to your body. And while we are believing these things to come to pass, you know, in the meantime, think on those things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely, and the things that are of a good report, those things that are excellent and worthy of praise, dwell on those things. That was December 8th at 2:49 p.m.
Wow.
That's amazing. And so reading, it was like, well, and I have that. I have the audio of that. And when he says he knows that it's not possibly possible for us to understand it all. So he calls us to trust him. He never called us to understand, just to trust him. It was like, this is for us. And wow. This is God. And God gave him that message for us. And he didn't know that I would ever hear that, you know. I just felt like that was one of those things. Like if you're doubting, if you're, you know, upset with God, like there are things that happen that we don't understand, but God is faithful and we can trust him. And that was one of the things that was like huge for me at that time.
Wow, that's so powerful. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And then Tina, you also, I remember you wrote a post to John. Mm-hmm. What was that at? For two,
that was at 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
Would you read that too?
Yes.
Is that hard to pull up?
No, it's not. I thought it was so beautiful. And
I want people to understand still that this is 2 years out and that we mm-hmm. still feel these things. And even now that we're over 3 years out,
right.
We just, even though Tina and I have tremendous love for one another, even though Michelle and Joel have tremendous love for one another, we all still love our spouses. And Absolutely. So we want you to know, the listeners, that that these things are okay. And these feelings, like Michelle, you made a post recently, that all these things can coexist together.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's
nothing wrong with it. You don't need to cancel one out to have a new one. So is that hard for you to pull up? I'm sorry to throw you on the spot.
No, it's okay. I have it.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead.
So this is what I wrote at the 2 year anniversary of his death. It says, 2 years seems like just yesterday, but also feels like 10. There's this weird sense of accomplishment for surviving 2 years while simultaneously an ache and disbelief that it's been that long since you were a part of our everyday lives. I sometimes still feel like this is all a dream. We should have just celebrated our 23rd anniversary. I really don't know what to do on those days. I miss you and the beautiful life that we built. We grew up together, and so much of the woman I am today is because of the way you loved me. You were the most selfless man, loving husband, and amazing dad. We were your world, and you loved, cherished, and fiercely protected us. I'm so very grateful for the life and love that we shared and for the love that will live on as long as I'm breathing. The hearts and lives that you touched during your time here will not be forgotten. Our whole family feels your absence at every special event or holiday dinner. Your smile and energy had a way of lifting the room when life was heavy. Your strength and character also brought peace and security. Your sense of humor had us either laughing or shaking our heads. We love and miss you every day and share stories about some of the crazy things you said and did. Your insistence on the Goodwill date night will forever be my favorite anniversary date. I think we laughed almost from start to finish that night. John, thank you for loving me and us well. Alyssa and Logan are strong and resilient, and I see so much of you and both of them. We've made it through another year, and God has continued to be faithful. He has brought hope, love, and healing to my heart, even though it still aches. We will always love and miss you and are so very thankful for the years we had with you.
It's beautiful.
Wow. Thank you. That is so powerful. And
yeah,
it's such a testimony of, first of all, the man that he was, but also the woman that you are. Mm-hmm. That you are still that loving and faithful of a wife after 2 years of him being gone, and still are the same exact woman over 3 years after he's been gone. You were a tremendous wife to him, in addition to him being a tremendous husband to you. You should be really proud of yourself, proud of your kids for how far you've come. And ladies and gentlemen, I also want you to know that Tina and I are both widowed, and you should find somebody that has complete understanding of what you've been through, and that there are no feelings of jealousy or insecurity when it comes to your late spouse, because without that, you will really, really struggle to have a good relationship. So I would like to say that that has been my most incredible blessing with being with you, Tina, is that I'm still free to love Lacey.
Yes.
I'm still free to love her, to talk about her, to tell you very openly how much I miss her, how great she was, how beautiful she was, how special she was. And you've never taken offense to that or been jealous or envious or anything like that. And so I just wanted to say to the audience that you should be seeking that kind of person. And if they are asking you why you still have pictures up or anything like that, that that's not the right person if they're not willing to change and understand. So anybody, anything else?
I feel like another part of a Hallmark movie is like watching you guys. I'm like, oh, emotional. Like, this is so beautiful.
Yeah, she makes me emotional. She's a pretty special girl.
Yes. And it reminds me what you're talking about. This happened with Joel just the other day. It was this day we were celebrating Valentine's Day, and I have a Tiffany's bracelet, like one he hadn't seen at home, and I'm like, it has the day I got married, my two best friends married the first time to Luke, they got me a bracelet that had my initials and Luke's initials, and I was like, you know, I don't wear this anymore. He's like, why not? And I'm like, well, it has Luke's initials, I just feel weird because I'm married to you. He's like, wear it, like, yeah, wear it. I support that. And I was like, really? Okay. He's like, let's shine it up and you can wear it again. And that was just like,
awesome,
wow,
guy.
That's awesome. I love that.
Like, I just felt like maybe having Luke's initials wearing, because I've got Joel's initials on this and then having his initials, you know, but he put diamonds from my original wedding band with Luke in his ring. So he's good with it. Like, he wants me to feel amazing. Like love from both of them. And so, you know, that's what I tell people when, because I meet with widows all the time, like, oh, do not settle for anybody who's going to be jealous. Like, they've got to be supportive like this. And, you know, recognize that it's going to be different. You know, you're going to talk about them, you're going to have pictures, all of those things. And I would assume that it's usually harder for divorced men to get that because they don't have that. But Joel does such a good job at understanding, even though we don't have the same situation, and being so kind about that. So anyway, just wanted to share that that just came up with us with the bracelet, and I was just
that's like, awesome. Wow. And he's a really, really great guy. He's also one of those guys. There are not a lot of them, so I'm not just randomly saying this about everybody. He is also one of those guys that you just meet him as a man and you're like, I just want to be friends with him. I just really like him. You know, he's very genuine.
Oh, yeah.
And very like laid back and just easy to get along with, easy to talk with, easy to joke with. And I just love people like that. So, Tina, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you
so much for sharing your beautiful story with us. And, I'm going to pray for us, and there will be a part two, which Yay. I'm really excited about.
Me too.
And it's been such a treat to introduce the audience to you. So thank you so much for being here. I know you're probably a little starstruck with me. So, you know,
just, you're, you know, so humble.
I know. Anyways, so if you girls are okay with it, I'm going to pray for us.
Sounds good.
And we'll close it out here. So, Lord, I'd just like to thank you so much for this podcast that allowed me to meet this amazing woman. And I'm so sorry for what she's been through. Lord, I just pray that you would continue to keep your hands on her and bless her and look after her and care for her, guide her, look out for her children. I just pray that as Alyssa's wedding comes up, Lord, that you would provide peace and provide everything she needs, that you would be there to support and protect Logan, that you would just bless this Gillenwater family richly. And I thank you so much for the opportunity to know them and to get to be blessed by having this beautiful woman's hand. I thank you for what you've done through this podcast and the healing that you've provided in her heart. And I just thank you so much, God. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Does anyone know what I'm going to say? If you like this podcast, give it a little ding, 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 ding. That was more than five. Five stars.
That was seven.
Thank you for those. I haven't checked in a while, but I think we have quite a few now. So thank you for those of you who've done that. And if you want to give it a little, like write a little sentence about it, that's helpful too. Also wanted to remind you guys, if you want to leave us a voice message, we've been featuring those on our episodes. We really appreciate that. And it's really fun having all these different people come talk about the podcast. There's a link below. And then something that you might have seen that changed is we now have a place where you can subscribe to get extra podcasts and bonus, you get our episodes early. So if you're interested in doing that, it's really to support the podcast. You know, we don't make a lot of money doing this podcast, but that's not why we started it. But if you want to support this ministry so we can keep going with it, keep growing, you can become a subscriber for $9.99 a month, less than Netflix. And
we're trying to go from cheeseburgers to Big Macs, basically.
Right. Yes, exactly. And it's just a way to support us. So you'll get the extra content. There's a link below. And what else we got? If you want to be a guest, there's links. Join our communities, all this stuff. So, and it's been fun. I noticed there's a few more today too. A lot of people have been posting Valentine's things in our Widow Too Soon community page, like what they did for Valentine's Day and what it was like. And like, maybe they post a picture. Oh, Rob loved it that you danced with your wife and you talked about it on the podcast, on the page. That's awesome. I was so proud of you in that picture. And she's just stunningly beautiful. So thank you for sharing that. And everyone else who shared your pictures, thanks for doing that. I really feel it's kind of like two pages. Like the big one is more like not as personal, but people, you know, we can post things here and there, but no one else can post. So if you want to be part of a community that's private and you can post, and I actually do check every person, like I go, like they say when they're widowed. And if I don't know them, I go on their page and make sure it looks like they're a real widow and not a fake widow.
Thank you. So no more men hitting on my girl.
Yes, I did see that one. Yes. So we screen the people. So anyways, it's a safe place. If you want to be part of the community, please join that in the link below. I think that's all the stuff we have, and we're excited to talk to you next time. So have a wonderful day.
I just
day.
Have one more little thing.
Okay.
Rob got an iPhone.
No, he didn't.
I know, but I just want to hear if he listens to the
end. He just said, like 2 days ago, he says, I have an Android, but maybe one day.
Rob got an iPhone. He's a traitor. He went over to the dark side.
Good job, Rob. I mean, you joined the dark side, which is actually the light side. So, you know. All right. Well, thanks again.
All right. God bless you all.
See you guys later. Bye.
Bye.